Hi there, fellas. What you say? This is Little Fat Swallow, my mother's 285 pounds of jam, jive, and everything. They got me in on this V-Dis mess here this afternoon, so here it is. Watch out. One of my own compositions ain't misbehaving, and I ain't either. On the elevation, on the shelf, ain't misbehaving. Saving my love for you, and you, especially you, yes. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you. Like Jack Horner in a corner. No place to go. I'm home about 8 at my little radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you, for you, for you, yes, you. All my love for you. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Listening to Joe's Garage Radio. I'm Joe, and welcome to the garage. Thanks for tuning in, and hope you're having a great start to your week. On tonight's episode, I wanted to dive into what is the essence of the garage. You know, a sacred, holy ground for all the freaks and geeks, the outsiders and misfits. I wanted to dive into, you know, the music that makes up the garage. Get back to our roots, you know, man. Rock, punk, and heavy metal. System of a Down on the way, but up first we'll be easing into this set tonight with Nirvana off of MTV's Live and Unplugged. This is their cover of David Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World. Keep tuned in here, Joe's Garage Radio. ¶¶ System of a Down with their title track off their 2001 release, Toxicity. You're listening to Joe's Garage Radio, where we're on the pursuit tonight to find the essence of the garage. Like, what are we all about, man? I've got some new music on the way. Also got some classic tracks like The Clash to come. But up next, new song from up-and-coming band by the name of Castle Rat. Some good old medieval doom metal. This is off their debut album, Into the Realm. Here's the song, Cry For Me.
Now cry for me, baby.
New music by the group known as Grin off their latest album, Hush. That song entitled Talons. A little bit before that, we heard The Clash with Bank Robber and started the set off with Castle Rat. Their song, Cry For Me. You're listening to Joe's Garage Radio, where we are on the pursuit tonight to find the essence of the garage, trying to sort of narrow down our sound, if you will. I have some new music by an artist known as Devere on the way. Also got a classic track by the group Death to come. But up next, how about some Joan Jett, The Runaways, with their song Dead End Justice. Keep it tuned in here, Joe's Garage Radio.
Yeah.
title track off the latest release from the group known as Devere, song called Amber Eyes. You're listening to Joe's Garage Radio, where we're on the pursuit tonight to find the essence of the garage, been leaning a little bit heavy into some, you know, rock and roll, punk, alternative, and we're just still on the pursuit of trying to find, you know, that sound, man. So I was thinking, having a little bit of a classic cut this next set here. I have the Cramps on the way, but up first, here's Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
righty, that's it for me, folks. This has been Joe's Garage Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And once again, hope you have a great start to your week. Tonight's episode, I tried to find the essence of the garage, tried to find the core root cause of what we're all about, man. But I don't know if I've answered that question here tonight. And I think it deserves further research. So tune in next week as I do more dives and deep cuts into rock and roll, punk, funk, and soul, all on the pursuit of good music. This has been Joe's Garage Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to leave off tonight with Type O Negative and their song, I Don't Want to Be Me.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Hello. You're listening to Forbes Avenue on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. I'm your host, Arshan Das, with my co-host,
Kate Smiggy.
And today we're going to be interviewing Max Gonzalez, also known as Gems.
Hi.
Max is a graffiti artist and muralist in Pittsburgh. He has a pretty interesting story. So I guess we'll let him lead it off. Tell us how you got into graffiti.
Yeah, so I am a full-time muralist, but I always make the distinction to say that I'm, like, first and foremost a graffiti writer. So, like, I have a very, like, graffiti, like, traditional hip-hop lettering background. I'm originally from Southwest Side Chicago. I grew up painting there and just, like, seeing, like, graffiti everywhere I was from, because the neighborhood I'm from is Pilsen, and it's just, like, this very historic Chicano community that's just covered in graffiti. So I just naturally saw it everywhere I was. So even like as far as like starting to draw graffiti, like I don't even know how old I was because I just was mimicking what I saw and what I thought graffiti was. I very much so have always had graffiti in my life. I didn't really start to like try to actually paint and get a name in graffiti until I was about like 15. I think like the first time I used spray paint though, I was like 13, just coming from like a construction background and doing vandal type things with my dad and my brother. And yeah, from there, around like later in high school is when I started to actually really try to push it more. I tried to do pieces and things. But it really was when I moved to Pittsburgh for college and didn't have like parental control and kind of had free rein that I really, really started to push graffiti. So that was like age 18. I started writing Gems. Before that, I was writing all kinds of other things, but Gems is like really what stuck out to me. And just like being in a university format in a city that was unfamiliar to me and just kind of hating the college format I was in, I kind of didn't like to hang around a lot. So every night, I would just go paint on things and put my name everywhere. So in a way, like me having graffiti was an access to like my upbringing to Chicago and kind of like that culture that I was brought up with. So being able to like export that to Pittsburgh and like pull from that inspiration. But yeah, so the whole time through college, I was not doing graffiti as my art form for Carnegie Mellon, but it was still always there.
Yeah, so you studied at Carnegie Mellon, like we are current Carnegie Mellon students. A lot of times when you're around campus, you hear people talking about how the environment here is somewhat depressing or suffocating. Everyone has their own opinions on that. But how do you think the environment of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon contributed to your art?
Yeah. If anything, it was kind of good that I had such a distaste for CMU, just because it forced me to seek like the actual Pittsburgh communities outside of the campus areas. Just because, I don't know, like coming from where I'm from, like I'm not poor or anything, but I come from a working class family and like work construction my whole life. So coming here and like even during school, like working two different jobs, like working at a restaurant and then like working construction during the summers, like I just couldn't really culturally attach myself to a lot of the other people here, where I was just seeing people who literally princes and princesses. And I was just kind of like, oh my God. And like, children of like CEOs, and it just like was very difficult for me to attach myself to that, especially coming from like Chicago and kind of loving the more city nitty gritty side of things. But yeah, so that did push me to eventually start looking into seeing the rest of the East End. So I really, I've always like prided myself on like being very attached to the East End of Pittsburgh. So like East Liberty, Bloomfield, Garfield. Yeah, and from there, finding places like Time Bomb Shop, which used to be on Highland Ave, which is like a historic hip-hop graffiti store, and Daily Bread, and finding all those friends there. So thank you to CMU for pushing me away.
I think it's sometimes great on artistic journeys to find inspiration from life and to find inspiration sometimes from those struggles that you face. And I feel like that's the uncomfortable part of the artistic journey. But when you're creating graffiti, what are you thinking about in terms of style and colors? Like, what do those artistic choices look like? Or do you come up with a design beforehand? Or
yeah, I mean, I would say there's definitely a distinction for me between, like, my graffiti and my muralism or spray can muralism. As far as graffiti inspiration, like letters, a lot of the inspiration for me does come from Pittsburgh. It wasn't until I moved to Pittsburgh that I had people who were willing to critique my style and tell me like that I sucked for the first time. And I was like, oh, wow, like I just assumed because I know how to draw, I must be good at graffiti. And it's kind of like, well, no, like graffiti is a typographic art form. It's based in lettering and this long history of hip hop. It even predates hip hop. And so I can't reinvent something that's already been mastered and that has this super strong history tied to it. It'd be wrong for me to reject the culture that it comes from young black and brown kids from New York and Philadelphia. Yeah, so I'm always looking to that as a reference point, like original subway graffiti, just wall graffiti. As far as like what I'm contributing to my style writing, and even in my murals, I try to push for there to be as much of a graffiti presence as possible. So any point that I get to introduce traditional graffiti styles into my art, I'd gladly accept it.
It's interesting that you mentioned the different scenes that exist in graffiti from different cities. I wanted to ask you, what are some of the regional differences that exist between what you saw in, say, Chicago and here in Pittsburgh? And how does that influence your style?
Yeah, there absolutely is like a huge distinction between different cities' graffiti styles. Like I even said, like there's a little bit of a contention between who started modern style writing, whether it was Philadelphia or New York, but they both started around the same time in the late 60s. Philadelphia has a very, very distinct style for their like very tall, elongated letters. Even all of their like pieces look like that. It's called a style called Wickeds. And it's just like this very, very gestural style that you probably couldn't even read if you weren't from Philadelphia. Where New York is known for like these rounder, more funky styles. And even being that Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they're in the same state. Yes, they're opposite ends. It's just interesting to note that Pittsburgh does not have a Philadelphia style. Pittsburgh has a bit of his own style, kind of with the advent of Instagram and the internet. Styles have started to be diluted a bit. Philadelphia still has its style, but all the styles are kind of meshing a lot. The one thing with Chicago's style is that it actually kind of is very similar to LA's style because of a history of a Chicano and Cholo movement there, where a lot of the original graffiti from LA is referencing kind of like old English styles, and a lot of gangbangers from back then would be riding in that style. So even before style riding was a thing that existed. So a lot of these almost gothic, pointy, like very aggressive looking styles of graffiti were present in LA, and being that there was a large movement of Chicano and Cholo people in Chicago and kind of like migration between the two places, they share that style. Where definitely, though, if you go to the south side of Chicago, it's a lot more noticeable, where the north side, it's just kind of like a contemporary mix of all styles. It's Chicago definitely would not have its style if it wasn't for the Mexican-American culture that's present there. Pittsburgh, being that it has zero Mexican-American culture, besides like me and two other people,
You're listening to an experiment with time on WRCT Pittsburgh. Over the airwaves on 88.3 FM in the city of Pittsburgh. Streaming online to the world up on WRCT.org. WRCT is supported by Spac Brothers Pizza. Located at 5107 Penn Avenue in Bloomfield, Spac Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings and salads while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spac Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Spac Brothers offers both takeout and delivery. For more information, email them at spechelp@gmail.com or visit their website at spacbrothers.com. And if you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Right now, millions of kids up to age 19 are eligible for free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP. Your child could be one of them. In fact,
children and a family of four earning up to $80,000 a year may qualify. Income levels vary by state. Regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more are covered. For more information or to enroll today, go to insurekidsnow.gov. That's insurekidsnow.gov. Thanks for tuning in, folks. This is an experiment with time. So kicking off tonight's experiment with Sharif Nagarbane from his 2023 release, Marzipan. Right after that, we are kicking off strong with some classic Soft Machine from their 1968 release. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. Lots of great music coming up.